Okay, I promise you my Chinese will get much better, but that's the end of it for today. All right, it's an honor to have this opportunity to share with you this morning. Pastor Biao, as you know, is traveling, and today we're going to be taking our lesson from Acts chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13. Before we get started, I wanted to share with you something that I shared with the youth group this morning. It has to do with this cup. And I know, so if you were there, if you were present at the English service this morning, please don't speak up, because you know the answer. All right? But I saw a story about a problem with the cup. And actually, the story is told of D.L. Moody. He shared this illustration. It involved actually a glass instead of a cup. But the question that he had for the congregation was, how do you get the air out of the cup? Interesting problem, right? How do you get air out of a cup like this, anyway? Those of you who know some English, perhaps you can share a suggestion with us. Anyone? What's it? Pour some water. Yes, that's actually the answer. The answers that the crowd gave to D.L. Moody were things like, you suck the air out of it, you use a vacuum. But of course, if you were to suck the air out of it, what would happen? It would crush the cup, right? And someone had an ingenious suggestion, turn it upside down, put it in some water, and put a candle in it, and burn the air out. That's another way that you can get it, and it would just, equilibrium would to keep the shape of the cup and get rid of the air, all right? And, yes, you're absolutely right. The answer is, you pour some water in it. Like this. And the reason I'm doing this morning, is because this is God's answer for victory in our lives as well. He doesn't just suck sin out of our lives and just extract it. In terms of giving us victory and power in Christ, what he does is he fills us with the Holy Spirit, just like the water in this cup. And he fills it to overflowing. So you know what you have to do? You have to drink some of it. But the drink is not for you. The drink is for others. To drink from what God has given you. Because he wants others to know about his power. The power of the Holy Spirit that fills you. And that's the power from on high that we're going to talk about today. The power of God's Holy Spirit, not just to give us victory, but to accomplish his purposes. Now, some of you may know the story of when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, right? The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus, and it was like a dove. And when you think of a dove, what do you think about? Peaceful, gentle. But Jesus told the disciples, you need the same power. You need to stay in Jerusalem after I have ascended to heaven. And I will send the Holy Spirit. God will send the Holy Spirit to you. This painting up here is a painting of them receiving the Holy Spirit. Where's the dove? There's nothing peaceful about this picture. You have a guy in the corner here who looks like he's about to have a heart attack. And do you know why? There's a violent wind that's rushing through the room that the disciples are in. They've obeyed Jesus. He says, stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. But this power, the way they experience it, is forcefully. It's not like a dove. There's fire. Tongues of fire. There's wind. And what that indicates is the very presence of God himself being among them. And so Jesus has kept his promise. He said, never will I leave you or forsake you. And he's left them the Holy Spirit as the presence of God with them, but in a powerful, forceful way. And so it's not going to be, that kind of power is not just to get rid of sin in your lives. It is to change nations. It's to change the world. It's to advance the kingdom of God. It's power unlike anything they've
ever experienced before. And in today's text, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, why he has given it to us, but more importantly, what we should do with it. And so here are the points I want you to remember. And they're up there on the screen. God's power is a gift to us. That's what it really is. It comes to every believer in Christ. But it can be dangerous and life-changing. So, accept it at your own risk. Second point is God's power transcends language and culture. Because this is the way that he shows the world that he cares. His word and his power is for the nations. And the purpose of God's power is to declare his wonders and his glory. And it shows us, you're going to see something special today. It shows us that God has reversed a decision that he made at the Tower of Babel. And so one of the passages of Scripture we're going to look at is from Genesis 11 today. Because God has now redeemed a people and culture for himself instead of scattering man all over the face of the earth. That's what he did. And now, finally, I'm going to talk to you about why all this is important. This is important. Power from on high. A discussion on power from on high. Because power is attractive. And all of you, I think, probably know that. Depending on your culture, power means very different things. You ever heard someone say knowledge can be power? Right? That's one way that people look at power. Knowledge is power. Yeah, that's what you really want. You want to be well-educated. And you do. Some believe power is strength and control and it's for strong people and you wield power. That's what it's for. It's to be used. There was someone who once said, unfortunately, that power was found in the barrel of a gun. Right? And I think you know who that was. But the real question is, what do you think about power? What do you think about power? What is it for? Or maybe the better question is, how does God look at power for each one of you and for me? That's what we're going to focus on. Let's pray and then look at our text. Father in heaven, we're grateful to have this opportunity this morning to read your word and to understand what you have to say about the power of the Holy Spirit that you've given to us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be clear in the sharing of this message and in our understanding. May your Holy Spirit fall upon us so we can understand this message. Lord, forgive the one who's preaching his sins because we would see Jesus only. Amen. Okay, for those of you with your Bibles, you can open it to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13. As we read through the scripture this morning, we're going to do it in two ways. Okay, for those here on my right, I'm going to ask you to read verses 1 through, I think we have 6 up here. And for those of you on my left, I'm going to ask you to read then verses 7 through 13. So let's start on my right here, verses 1 through 6. Forgive me if my Chinese is not so good, but you can help me. Please, go ahead.
Thank you. This is an amazing scene that has taken place in this room that the disciples are gathered in. And what we have here is a fulfillment of many of God's Old Testament prophecies about what was to come, about the gifts that he was supposed to give mankind. And it's a reversal of a decision that he made many years ago, at the Tower of Babel. You see, shortly after the flood, God gave man another chance. He came down just before the flood, in the time of Noah. And what he did is he said, man is wicked. Every thought he has is wicked. I'm going to destroy him and start over. And so he did. He wiped out the whole world except for one family, the family of Noah. And then shortly after that, he said, surely man will understand now. I've started over with Noah and it's going to be okay. And he said to man the same thing he did in Genesis in the very beginning. He said, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over it. He wanted man to go out to the farthest reaches and corners of the earth so that his glory might be told of and known throughout the whole world. But you know what man did? If you open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11 and you look at verses 1 through 9, man decided, I don't want to do that. I want to stay in one place. We've got a good thing here because the world for us right now is one language and one culture. That's what we have. And then God came down and he saw that. You know what he did? He decided to change it. Why would he do that? Because man's goal at that time was to make a name for himself. He wanted to build a tower to heaven. He wanted people to know, other people in the world, he wanted future generations to know what man was capable of. So what God decided to do, God said, you know what? They don't understand who I am. I'm going to have to change some things here. So what he decided to do was to confuse their language. And he scattered them all over the face of the whole earth because he wanted the world to be filled with the knowledge of his glory. And so man wouldn't do it on his own. And he said, guess what? I'll do it for you. He confused their languages. And you know how many languages resulted? There are over 6,000 languages in the world today just from that one thing that God did at that time. Because man had no idea what kind of power they were dealing with in the sky. And so then God decides, well, that's not enough. Man has to have an example of who I am and what I'm capable of. And so he decided to create a people for himself. So when you get to Genesis chapter 12, somebody arrives on the scene. And guess who it is? The person's name is Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, Abraham arrives and he shows up. And God says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And then you will be able to share with people my glory so they'll know who I am. Because what happened is when he turned man loose from the world, man corrupted God's desire for language and culture. You know what he did? He used it as an opportunity for power and strength and control. You have situations in the world today that involve tribalism, and there are wars over it. Kenya, the places in Indonesia where they have tribal wars. And it becomes because people said, why not have one language, one culture? And God says, you know what? You should value the diversity. You should value different languages. Man doesn't know how to do that. So he decided to create a people for himself, and he gave the people a gift. And that gift was his precious gift to the Jews, was his word. The law of God, the Ten Commandments. And if you look up there, it says Pentecost. Now, Pentecost, most of us think of that as when the Holy Spirit was given to the church, right? But the word existed before the Spirit came. So what did the Jews use it for? They were familiar with Pentecost. Well, Penta means what? It's five. And so what Pentecost talks about is 50 weeks after Passover, God wanted his people to celebrate something. And at first it was called the Feast of Weeks, a time for you to bring the first fruits of everything you had to God from the harvest. It was 7 weeks of seven, okay? And so that's like a complete plan from God. And what he did at that time is he says, I'm giving you my word. I'm giving you the law. It's perfect. And that's what they were doing in that room on Pentecost. They were about to celebrate the renewal of the covenant of God. Except now God had given them this new covenant in Christ. And so they were experiencing God's second gift, a wonderful gift that he was giving them. Because it wasn't enough for man to have an example of what he should be like by God giving them the Jews. That didn't work out because the Jews stayed to themselves. They stayed to themselves. They really didn't understand what God was talking about. And they couldn't keep his law. They didn't have the power to do it. And so God says, I know what I can do. I'm going to send them my son. Surely they will listen to my son, Jesus. And then man will get it. He'll understand what it means to know me and to fill the world with the knowledge of who I am. And even the disciples found it hard when Jesus was there to understand what he was saying. So Jesus said, don't worry. You know, when I started my ministry here on earth, God knew that you needed one more gift. And that last gift is what I received from God in starting my ministry. And that's the Holy Spirit. Because besides an example from God, besides having his physical presence there, people needed to know what God was thinking. And God knew that. And that's why the power of the Holy Spirit is a very dangerous thing. Because you are linked with the mind of God. Okay. Now, if you could read the thoughts of the person that was sitting beside you, would that be a good thing? Somebody said no. I agree with you. You're probably right. If your spouse could read your mind, yeah, it probably wouldn't be such a great thing, okay? Or if your children could read your mind, or even if you could read your children's mind, that probably wouldn't be such a good thing. But what God decided to do is he says, you need to know who I am, and I have nothing to hide. So I'm going to allow you to read my mind. But there's a way for you to do it. And not only that, but I'm going to allow you to block me out if you decide you don't want to hear what I have to say. Okay? If you block out your boss from what he's saying to you, or your husband or wife from what they're saying to you, and they're trying to say something very important, maybe forcefully to you, what happens? You know? They're not going to like it. But God, you know what he said? It's okay. That's okay. I'm going to allow you to block me out for now. But because you belong to me now, and you're mine, I will figure out a way to get my point across to you. I will do that because I love you so much. I've given you these gifts. This gift will constrain evil. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does in the world today. It prevents evil from overflowing and from just taking over because this world, the Bible says, belongs to the devil. But while the power of the gospel is being preached and the kingdom of God goes forward, nothing can stand in this way. Nothing can stand in the way of the sharing of the gospel. Again, this ministry like that. In Matthew 4, chapter 1, and Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of God has come on me and anointed me to preach the gospel to you. And you know what's happening at Pentecost? The same thing. In order for them to be effective in ministry, they have the Spirit of God that falls on them. And that's the only way today you can be effective in ministry. The only way today you can be effective as a Christian is through the power of the Holy Spirit. But there are some caveats to all that. Okay? We're going to talk about that a little bit more right now. It's what allows you to become the people of God. Okay? But it is dangerous. Let's go to the next slide. It's dangerous because it is life-changing. You see, when you think about what was on that first slide, you know, when you saw the wind, like a violent wind, that's what it talked about in the scriptures, and there was tongues of fire, you know? And then it was divine speech. Everywhere in the scripture that's mentioned, that is indicative of the presence of God. And God is not safe. God is dangerous. Most of us say to ourselves, God is our friend, and he is. But make no mistake about it. God is very, very dangerous. Why? Because his goal and ours is a little bit different. Our goal is about our security. It's about our lives. It's about our family. God's goal is his glory. And if you belong to him, you know what he says? That means I can do anything with your life I want. And eventually it's going to be okay. But for right now, there may be some things you have to learn or that I have to teach other people, and you're not going to like this. It's going to hurt. It could be death in a family. It could be bad circumstances. But God is saying, listen, if you can't handle this with the power that I'm giving you through the Holy Spirit, if you can't show them what it means to be a Christian, then what hope does the world have? You can do this, and I will help you to do this. It's important that you do this, but it will not be safe. It will be dangerous. Okay? Jesus said we need the Holy Spirit so that we could have the mind of God. The Holy Spirit is a helper, reminds us of what Jesus said, and God invites the nations into the kingdom of God. When you look at those first few verses there in Acts, and it goes through that, that is a scary thing. I mean, if you were to go to your neighbors and say, guess what? Today, I just learned Swahili and Catalan. And, you know, I found out that I can speak some tribal language in Rwanda that I've never spoken to before. You know, your neighbor is going to say, right, yeah, that's fine. Okay? Because it's unbelievable. This is an unbelievable scene. And what's more unbelievable is it wasn't just for that day and time. It's for today. It's for today. Now today, if we want to learn another language, what do? We study. We go to school. Right? We live with the people in that country to learn that language and that culture. Okay? It wasn't that way back then. And there are some countries today who do not have the Word of God. There are actually over 2,000 people groups in the world today, 2,000 language groups that still do not have the Word of God. That still happens. Some people who are missionaries to those countries, to those tribes, actually end up speaking languages they have never spoken before. And there's only one reason for it. It is so that the power of God can be displayed and people's lives can be saved. And so we need the presence of God. They did. They've got the Holy Spirit to help them. And now they're saying to themselves, okay, what do we do with this? What do we do next? And they're going to find out that when your behavior changes, when you start speaking the words of God, when you start doing things that He wants you to do, that other people take notice. Because God's word does not return void. He invites people to be a part of the building of His kingdom, and He does it through us. Sometimes it means, though, we have to listen in a particular way. You know, people care about what you have to say if they don't know you or if they're strangers, because they watch your lives. Christians are watched very carefully, you know. And so these guys who watched carefully, and some people who were in the streets heard all this noises. They were from 15 different countries, and they wanted to know what was going on. And so they came to see, and then they heard all these people speaking languages that they shouldn't have been speaking, and they said, whoa, we're going to hear what these people have to say. Okay? We're going to hear what they have to say. And so they did. They heard what they had to say, and eventually what happens, if you look beyond Acts chapter 2, is that Peter leads thousands of them to Christ. It's his first sermon. It's his first message. Okay. Why don't we go to the next slide here? Okay. It's because God's power transcends language and culture. It's much bigger than that. Culture is a very funny thing, you know. I had a story that was told to me once about an Afghan missionary who was in Afghanistan. And this missionary, what happened to him is he was trying to get the people in the village to fix a hole in the village. And so what happened is trucks, UN trucks, medical supplies, food, came into this little village in Afghanistan. And the truck would fall into a ditch. The axle would be broken. You know what the townspeople would do? They would just laugh. They thought it was funny. They pull the thing out of the ditch, they would fix it, and you know, many times they wouldn't even collect any money from them. They just thought it was funny. And so this happened over a period of about 6 months, and the missionary was very frustrated, and he could not figure out how to get this problem solved. And this is the way God works through the power of His Holy Spirit. So he prayed, God, please, help me to solve this problem. Help the people of the village to see. People want to help them. But if this keeps happening, and they keep laughing at people who have a problem, then they won't come back. And so, as the guy was talking, he heard the voice of a camel. He heard a camel. You know, I don't know what kind of noise camels make, but they go, ma, or whatever noise camels make. He heard a voice, he had this camel, you know, saying whatever camels, sounds camels make. And he looked at the camel, and he suddenly realized it was God speaking to him. It wasn't the camel, it was God. So he called the meeting of the townspeople. And they all got together. And he says, you know, from trying to get you to see that you need to fix this ditch because people are bringing things to us and they're trying to help you. Okay, and they keep falling in the ditch and you keep laughing at them. He says, it's because you don't understand. He says, the guy has shown me how to get you to understand today. He says, when a truck comes into your village and falls into this ditch, it's like your camel breaking its leg. And suddenly they understood. Because you see, for people in the parts of Afghanistan, a camel is all, it's their whole life. It's their transportation. It's their security. It's everything. They fill the ditch the very next day. Just like that. Okay. And the point is, they found out that this guy, this missionary, was trying to learn to speak their language. Not just the language, the words, but the culture. God showed him what would be most important to these people. And so he was able to help them. Okay. And what God is doing today, God was saying to these Galileans, who, by the way, were known for not being able to speak other languages well. They're kind of like Americans. What do you think of Americans when they try to speak Chinese? Yeah, exactly. Why, Chinese is a tonal language, right? Americans speak a phonetic language. It's hopeless for many of them. Hopefully it's not hopeless for me, but it's hopeless for many of them. Okay? Just doesn't work. And it was the same for the Galileans. The Galileans, they had an accent, and they couldn't pronounce gutturals. And so people knew that there was no way they're going to be able to speak the languages of the world. But here they were. They were speaking the languages of the world, and they were going, what in the world is going on? It surprised them, because all of a sudden it connected. These folks think enough about us in terms of telling us of the wonders of God to learn our language. But of course they had learned the language. God gave them the language so that the church could get started. And so now, these folks, they're listening. They're listening. I have a story. Most of you know I also work for Wycliffe Bible Translators. And the founder of Wycliffe, in the very beginning of his ministry, he was selling Bibles to people in Mexico. And what language did he speak in Mexico? Spanish. Except for the southern part of Mexico. There are over 100 different languages. And so he was trying to sell Bibles to indigenous people there, native speakers, native people from the country who didn't speak Spanish. And so one day, a guy comes up to him and he says, you keep telling us about this God who is so great. Is he really that great? And of course, the founding camera said, yes, he is. So can he really do anything? And he says, yes, he can. And so he looks at him and he says, so God, speak my language. And he thought about that. And he stopped selling Bibles in Spanish. He dedicated his life to translating God's word in indigenous and minority people's languages. And the languages of all the people from the southern part of Mexico. So they would know that God cares about them. That God does speak their language. And at that time he thought that maybe there were 150, maybe 200 languages in the world. Do you know how many languages in the world? I gave you the answer before. There's over 6,000 languages. So there's a lot of languages that are left to go. And in China alone, can you put up the next slide? China alone, there are over 200 languages, real languages. I'm not talking about dialects, real languages. People who want to know, does God speak my language? Now, how are they going to know that God speaks their language? Someone has to tell them. I don't know if that's you. I don't know if that's your kids. I don't know if it's your friends. But that's your opportunity from the Holy Spirit. Is someone has to let them know that God speaks their language. Because in this country, if you tell people who are Latinos, if you tell people who are Hawaiians, if you tell people who are Gullah people from South Carolina, all you have to do is learn English. And then you can get to know God. They are not going to be interested in your God. He's not going to appear to be that powerful. But when you tell them, God speaks Hawaiian and Pidgin, and God speaks Gullah, the whole community changes. And that's what God is trying to do at Pentecost. He's trying to reveal His glory through language in a way that has never been done before. He's putting things back together. You see, one of the things I didn't tell you about Pentecost, the big thing for the Jews at Pentecost was not just that the Holy Spirit came when they were supposed to be celebrating the gift of God in terms of the law, the Ten Commandments, but the big deal for them is they thought prophecy was dead. No prophet had ever spoken except for Jesus and John the Baptist for hundreds of years, and say they thought that God had forgotten them. And by these guys speaking the words of God and declaring His wonders and prophesying, they said, oh my gosh, God cares about us again. But you see, the big deal was that He just didn't reserve it for special people like John the Baptist and Jesus. He gave His Holy Spirit to ordinary people. Galileans who couldn't speak anybody's language. Ordinary people. And that was important to them. 6,000 languages, 200 in China. God works through us to redeem language and culture. He's reversing what He did at the Tower of Babel. He separated and confused man, spread him over the face of the earth. And now He said, now you guys have a chance to know what I'm like in over 6,000 different ways. I want you to go after it. I want you to take advantage of this opportunity that you have never had before, to know just how vast and glorious I really am. So, you know what the second response people have after, does God speak my language, is? After God's word is translated into the language, they come back to the people who translated it. And they say to them, how long have you had this book? And then when they get an answer to that, it's, why have you waited so long to give this book to us? And so what we do many times when God provides us with opportunities is we block Him out. Not deliberately. We don't say to God, God, you can't speak to me anymore. I don't want to hear any more scripture today. I've had enough. I've done enough of the church thing. I've done enough of the prayer thing. You know, that's enough. This is more than enough that I need. Okay? We block Him out with other priorities. Okay? But God is always there. He's always knocking at the door of our hearts and minds, saying, you have the opportunity to hear my thoughts while the rest of the world does not. And you have an opportunity to experience my priorities. Okay. And you can take advantage of that now. You don't have to wait until later. I will wait. But at some point, I might just decide, because I'm a dangerous guy, that I might move the process forward a little bit. And so, that's what God does. Okay. That's God's power. His Holy Spirit wants to declare His wonders. Jesus said, every believer will be taught of God. That's from John 6:45. Also in Ephesians 1:13. God said, the Holy Spirit is my guarantee that you are a Christian and that you belong to me. I seal you with the Holy Spirit. And so, it is not just power, it's just not just knowing His mind, it's a seal, it's a mark. It's a brand that you belong to God. And so that's something we always have to remember. We always have that seal and mark. God is always working in our lives. And so we have to be careful how much we limit Him. And what does God expect from us? What does He want us to do with this power? Anybody remember 1 Peter 3:15? Did someone look that up for me? 1 Peter 3:15. Anyone, just read it out loud. Amen. Now, hopefully, that is saying, always be prepared to give an account of yourself and of the hope that you have. Is that right? Is that correct? Or something like that? He's saying, be prepared. Be observant. Be ready. You see, have you ever had a situation where you were talking with a friend or you were praying and all of a sudden a verse of Scripture comes to mind? Have you ever had that happen? Okay, there's a reason for that. That's the Spirit of God. He's acting on God's Word in your life. You have to have something there for Him to work with. Okay? And Jesus said, you can ask anything of me, and I will grant that request. Okay? He says anything. And James chapter 4 says the same thing. You can ask anything of God, and He'll do it for you. But here's the catch. You have to have the right motives. You have to understand what God is doing because of His Word. You have to understand what His priorities are because of prayer. You have to understand when people present you with opportunities, ways that you can help your neighbors, ways you can help your friend, ways that you can stop injustice in people's lives. Perhaps something bad has happened to their family and they need somebody to help them. God said, listen, I can speak into your life in this moment and help you understand what I want you to do because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is impossible with God. I told the youth group a story this morning, the people in the English service, and didn't get a chance to finish it. But it was about a guy who used to minister in New York City. His name was David Wilkerson. Some of you may have read his book, The Cross and the Switchblade. Okay, if not, get the book sometime if you have teenage kids and help them to understand better what God can do in just various circumstances. His name is Dave Wilkerson. But anyway, he was kind of a country preacher in New York, and he was exposed to the gangs of New York and violence. Gangs that kill each other. Yeah. And who want power and control. And who believe that as young people, they can have power and control in their worlds because nobody else cares about them if they just kill each other off. Okay. So he got all these gangs together in one room. And when he got all these gangs together in one room, here's this country preacher standing up there. And he says, okay, I've gotten here today because I want you to hear what God has to say. And then they became noisy and rowdy. And they got ready to fight with each other. They got ready to tear this auditorium completely apart. And then David Wilkerson remembered where his power comes from. And he bowed his head and he starts praying. God, allow your Holy Spirit to fall on these people. He's praying. And within about 5 minutes, the room becomes very silent. And then another 5 minutes, the gang leaders start crying because the power of God has fallen on them. This is a true story. And people, gang leaders, who killed each other were converted that day in that auditorium because of a country preacher who saw an opportunity to obey God when some very bad things were going on and took a bold step at the risk of his own life to do something about it. And so, a lot of them went on, gang leaders, went on to become pastors and preachers and Bible teachers because of that one guy who was available to God in a very unique and powerful way that day. And that's the opportunity that God provides to us. He says, my word will not return void. When you declare the wonders of God, they were declaring the wonders of God. And these people from all of the known world, they were hearing what God had to say. And they were just utterly amazed. Now, some are not going to believe. You're right. Just like I said, some people thought they were drunk. Okay? Some people just aren't going to get it. And some people are going to think the Holy Spirit is a tool. That's great power. I can do something with that. But there are people who may think of thinking the Holy Spirit was a tool. The power of God was a tool. Remember I told you God was dangerous? Where God took one couple, and when they thought God was safe and it's okay to become a Christian and we can do whatever we want and things will be fine. We don't have to do it exactly the way the Christians do it. It was the case of Ananias and Sapphira. And when they attempted to do something different than what everybody else was doing and hide it from the rest of the Christian community, God struck them dead. First he struck one of them dead. And then the other one came in and said, did you do what you were supposed to do as a Christian? And he said, sure we did. And he said, he didn't say, why are you lying to me? He said, why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? Dead. The couple dropped dead. And you know what it did? It sent a signal to the entire Christian community. They were having a good time because so many people were coming to know Jesus. And all of a sudden, a couple died that was supposedly Christians in a very bizarre set of circumstances. And you know what? Fear of God went through the whole community. They realized that God was there for his purposes and not just for theirs to have a good time. And they had a great time as a church together. They did all kinds of things. But you know what God wanted them to do as a church? Proclaim his word in the community. He wanted them to go on where they were. He wanted them to be available to do other things. And so, when they didn't do it, and God tried every way he knew how to let them know it, God allowed persecution to come onto the community. And they were split up. They were scattered throughout the known world as Christians at that time. God, the Holy Spirit, is not safe. And he is not a tool. But I tell you what God is. What God is, God is good. When Peter preached his sermon, I told you the 3,000 people accepted Christ. God is good. And he has sent his word out across the world. And what Jesus said to us is that when you accept me, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and streams of living water will flow from you. Last slide. You see, God's goal is worship. 6 people who speak over 6,000 different languages standing before his throne, every nation and every tribe, and them not being involved in fights that involve tribalism, but being able to worship and praise God together in every imaginable way possible. That's what God is. That's his glory. His power is a gift, but it's dangerous and it's life-changing because it's the presence of God with us for his purposes, not ours. You have access to the mind of God, but guess what? God has access to your mind also. Okay? He wants you to begin ministry. What do you want to do with the power that God has given you? God's power transcends language and culture. He speaks the languages of the world to let people know he cares. But guess what? There are not too many circumstances where people will just show up at some tribal group, in some tribal community in Brazil or in Africa or very remote parts of China and just start speaking like the Miao language. Okay? It's not going to happen because God has decided you will get to know those people. You will learn their language. You will tell other people about the opportunity they have to do it. Like I said, there are over 200 minority languages in China. People who are not going to learn Mandarin to get to know God. And we have the opportunity to let them know that God cares about them. Finally, like I said, streams of living water flow through you. That's what the Bible says. Yes, you have the power. But this is what the power is for. The power is for other people to drink from what God has given you. Because when people drink of that power, God gives you more. He said, that's great. There's more. There's more where that came from. You have an opportunity to display my glory in some unique ways. Why don't you let God take a drink from your life because of God's power and presence of the Holy Spirit in you, okay? Perhaps in a new way this week that people have never experienced God in your life before, okay? So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for being present with us, for being Jesus with us now through the power of the Holy Spirit, for giving us something that we can offer to anyone at any time, even when we don't even know what to say. Father, there are many times like that. We're not exactly grown up yet in Christ, and we don't always know what to do. But we want you, Lord God, to teach us, to train us, to help us understand what to do with your power and to be able to let people drink from it and be filled up again, and let them be filled up with it as well. Father, we've studied your word this morning. Help us to be able to share it with someone else. But more importantly, help us to be able to glorify you in whatever we do and say this week for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.